The stream at Fortuna in the mountains of western Panama flows through tall trees draped with moss and hanging vines, with gardens of orchids in their top branches. Jaguars live here, and brilliant blue butterflies the size of small birds. Pink flowers drop from the treetops and float in the clear pools. But to amphibian biologist Karen Lips, the scene is strangely empty.
We should right now be listening to hundreds and hundreds of little cholestethes, these little tiny brown frogs with racing stripes that chatter away like little tiny birds in the forest. There should be harlequin frogs bounding about on the shoreline here, and we should be able to pick them up and make little calls, and there's nothing. So even though it looks wonderful, you know, it looks like this beautiful upland, old-growth cloud forest, something's the matter.
To her trained biologist's eye, it's like a crime scene after police have carried away the bodies. Last year, she found dead and dying frogs here, day after day, many different species, all looking as though they had been struck dead at once.
Some of them looked really lifelike. They were still sort of sitting there as if they had come out the night before to do their mating ritual and sort of just fallen asleep or frozen in place, because you'd go up to them and grab them, but they would be dead or dying.
Frogs are food for so many predators that a biologist can spend a lifetime in the field and see only one or two dead frogs. So many all at once was an unprecedented find.
To come out day after day after day and find more and more dead frogs of so many species, and to have no obvious trauma to their bodies, I mean, the only thing we could think of was that it was probably some sort of disease.
At night, she walks the Panamanian streams with a miner's light, documenting the few frog species that are left.
So you can see how quiet it is. You can only hear a couple crickets chirping away. And every so often you can hear Luther Dactylus, what we call the tink frog, goes tink, tink, sort of out in the background there.
In the darkness, the light plays along the rocks and pools and searches the leaves of overhanging plants. The nightlife of the rainforest is suddenly illuminated, a giant insect with waving antennae, a snake swallowing a lizard. But there are no frogs. Then she hears a distinctive call.
Hear that high-pitched double note call?
Beep, yeah. Beep.
Let's see if he's here, and if we turn off the lights, he'll probably start calling again.
What she hears is a glass frog. They get that name from their skin, so transparent you can see through it, all the way to their green bones. Lips used to find them everywhere, shimmering green, each frog chirping from the same leaf night after night. We listen for a long time to all the night voices, but the glass frog does not call again. Lips gets out her notebook and writes down the spot and hour of the lone call, her sole entry so far this night.
We had, two the other night. We had the same particular spot, actually. We saw a pair of glass frogs. They were mating. So normally we would catch them and try and, you know, see if we could look for this disease organism or whatever. But since it was a male and a female, and they may be the last hopes for that particular species, we decided to let them lay their eggs in peace. So we just wrote down that they were here, what time it was, and then moved on.
The sudden mysterious disappearances Lips is documenting at Fortuna in Panama have happened before in other mountain ranges around the world. Certain species of frogs have utterly vanished from high elevations in the western United States, South America, and Australia. Scientists suspected disease, but they were never able to prove it. Now, for the first time, they found a culprit, a disease organism they believe caused the deaths in Panama.
It's a very strange fungus-like creature, fungus-like organism. And what it does is simply so pervade the epidermis, the outer layer of the skin, that the frogs can't respire. They can't exchange oxygen or water, moisture for that matter, through the skin.
George Rabb is director of the Brookfield Zoo in Chicago and one of the leaders in the worldwide effort to solve the declining frog mystery. He says Australian scientists have found the same odd fungus in dead frogs collected in mountain rainforests in Australia. The declines in Panama and elsewhere appear to be moving in a wave through the mountains. But if a wave-like pattern of disease is indeed responsible for the mysterious deaths of frogs in pristine places around the world, Rab says the next question is why.
These things have been around for hundreds of millions of years, both the frogs and this strange organism, this fungus-like organism. What has changed in the environment that suddenly makes the frogs, which are sort of notable survivors on the planet, what has changed out there in the environment that suddenly these creatures are susceptible?
Many researchers suspect frogs are becoming stressed by worldwide environmental problems like pollution, global warming, or higher than normal levels of UV light coming through the Earth's thinning ozone layer. It's possible that's why they may be succumbing to diseases now. This summer, Karen Lips and other researchers will return to Panama. They'll take air and water samples and test for pesticides, heavy metals, and other contaminants that could be carried by the winds and rain. They'll study the site at Fortuna, where Lips first found the dead frogs, and another mountain rainforest site called El Copé. If a disease wave is moving eastward through the mountains, it will hit El Copé in a couple of years. For now, the frogs at El Copé seem secure in their mountain sanctuary. The little brown frogs with the racing stripes, the ones that have vanished from Fortuna, sing here all day long, the white vocal sacs on their tiny throats bulging in and out like lights blinking. You can walk up this stream and find hundreds of species of frogs, including a beautiful rare one called the golden frog, not to be confused with the now extinct golden toad. Golden frogs hear through their skins and communicate with each other by waving their front feet. These frogs, of course, have no idea what's in store for them, but for a human observer, it's hard to look at this stream, knowing that in a few years, it too may be empty. For the Great Lakes Radio Consortium, I'm Mary Lozier.